Good morning and welcome to a Monday Food for Thought program here on KKCQ. It's the third Monday of the month, so it is our monthly MCCL update. And Dick Rue, nice enough to stop by and join us on Food for Thought. Good morning, Mr. Rue.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, thanks for stopping by. I know today you wanted to touch on some congressional acts in regard to abortion.
That's correct, sir.
Yep, I'll let you take it away.
Okay. Well, the Minnesota legislature opened the 2023 session with a little different face on things. For the first time in quite a while, we had a trifecta. The DFL had majorities in both the Senate and the House of Representatives and the governor in the governor's office. And they opened the 2023 session with a sense of some urgency. They had an agenda that they considered extremely important that they wanted to take care of as quickly as they could. And we would ask ourselves, what were these urgent issues? Was it crime in the streets? Was it fentanyl deaths? Was it business closures? Extensive looting, burning, property damage, carjackings, armed robberies, murders, drug trafficking, human trafficking, and all kinds of other violent crimes that have filled the news headlines. But that wasn't what they were after. The very first bill introduced in the legislature in 2023 was the PRO Act. And that's a bill expanding access to abortion to the extent of making Minnesota the most liberal abortion state in America. PRO Act stands for Protecting Reproductive Options. Now, they tried to sell that PRO Act to the public by claiming that it didn't really change anything, that it simply codified into written law what was already the policy. But that's a lie. Minnesota citizens thought it was no big deal because they were told that it was no big deal. Then it didn't expand access to anything. Well, I argued this issue with a number of legislators in both the House and the Senate, and the stock answer I got was, no, you're wrong, it doesn't say that. But it does say that. Not directly. It doesn't say directly that a woman can get an abortion at any point in her pregnancy right up to the last day of her term, and for any reason, or for no reason at all. That'd be too obvious, and of course it'd get some feedback. So they couch that same proposition in deceptive language to get it by. And I'm going to read you what this PRO Act says, and I'm going to read it exactly as it's written so I don't get accused of paraphrasing it in a manner favorable to my position. But under Subdivision 3, it's 145.409 Minnesota statute. Reproductive freedom. Every individual has a fundamental right to make autonomous decisions about the individual's own reproductive health, including the fundamental right to use or refuse reproductive health care. Every individual who becomes pregnant has a fundamental right to continue the pregnancy and give birth, or to obtain an abortion, and to make autonomous decisions about how to exercise this fundamental right. And then they carry it one step further. A local unit of government may not regulate an individual's ability to freely exercise the fundamental rights set forth in this section in a manner that's more restrictive than that set forth in this session. Now, if you read that on the face of it, it doesn't say that, at least not directly. But you hide your true intent behind flowery, euphemistic language. But to anybody that understands the English language, what you don't say speaks just as loudly and just as emphatically as what you do say. And what they do say is that a woman has a fundamental right to make autonomous decisions without interference from laws or governments to have an abortion at any time during the pregnancy for any reason or for no reason. So now let's stop for just a minute and take a look at a couple of words or a couple of terms here. The first one is reproductive health care. Now, the human reproductive system is defined in the dictionary as an organ system by which humans reproduce and bear living offspring. Reproductive health care is a misnomer. As long as we're defining words, a misnomer is a name that is correctly or unsuitably applied. Health care refers to caring for someone's health, either healing or curing what's wrong, fixing what's broke. Health care does not refer to abortion, and abortion is not health care. Then let's take a look at the word autonomous. That's defined in the dictionary as being independent and having the power to make your own decisions without interference. Now, Minnesota's provided for access to abortion even before Roe v. Wade was overturned. It's written right into the Minnesota Constitution. But the extremists in the legislature wanted the guarantee of access to abortion codified into written law to prevent any court from striking down any portion of it. And that all passed in the PRO Act. The DFL had a one-vote majority in the Senate, and it passed by one vote. But there were still some restrictions to the unlimited, no-holds-barred legislation they wanted, such as the born-alive protections and the parents' right-to-know provisions. And they immediately took aim at those, introducing what they know, what we call the Repealer Act, with the intent to eliminate every vestige of any pro-life law remaining on the books in Minnesota. The proposed repeals are addressed in House File 91 and Senate File 70. Now, the Born Alive protections, this is the laws that we have on the books now. Minnesota Statute 145-415, and it states, and again I'm reading this verbatim, to live fetus after abortion, subdivision 1, recognition. A potentially viable fetus, which is born live following an attempted abortion, shall be fully recognized as a human person under the law. Now, remember, if you will, the U.S. Constitution guarantees to every person the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That abortion survivor, in other words, a child that's born alive as a result of a botched abortion, that abortion survivor has the same right to life as you or me or any other human being. Subdivision 2 of that same law says, if an abortion, this is in regard to medical care, if an abortion of a potentially viable fetus results in a live birth, the responsible medical personnel shall take all reasonable measures in keeping with good medical practice to preserve the life and health of that live born person. Now that's the born alive protection that is existing in our current Minnesota law. House File 91 and Senate File 70 wants to repeal that. Well, after writing to every Minnesota senator and representative about the PRO Act, and we composed a reasonable, logical arguments for the pro-life position on that, they still passed the PRO Act by one vote. So I figured it was time to get a little more aggressive if I was going to write to them in regard to the Born Alive Act and the Born Alive Protection Act. So I wrote a letter, a very short letter, and I'm going to read this to you verbatim too so that you understand exactly what I said to them. Some of you may remember about a year ago there was a young lady out in New Mexico that gave birth to a baby. I think it was in a Walmart bathroom or someplace, and wrapped it in a bloody towel and threw it in a garbage bag and threw it in a dumpster, alive. And that's what I'm referring to in this first paragraph. On January 7th, 2022, a young lady named Alexis Avila gave birth to a baby boy, wrapped him in a bloody towel and a garbage bag, and threw her live baby into a dumpster in Hobbs, New Mexico, in 36-degree weather. Well, thankfully, a few hours later, the baby was rescued from the dumpster and it survived. Alexis Avila was charged with attempted murder and child abuse. Now this bill, House File 91, Senate File 70, has been introduced in the Minnesota legislature that repeals virtually every existing pro-life law in Minnesota and provides, among other nefarious features, that a child who survives an abortion attempt and is born alive may be left to die without any attempt being made to ensure the survival of that child. And then I put, Senator, I want to tell you just one thing. If you vote in favor of that bill, you're no better than she is. Another feature of the repealer law is the parental notification issue. And this is a little more complicated. The common sense law ensures that parents are notified before an abortion is performed on a minor. House File 91, Senate File 70 would wipe out that law also. There's a lot more to this than just a girl not wanting mom and dad to know she's having an abortion. The truth of the fact is that sex traffickers use these abortions and sterilizations to hide their victims. And House File 91, Senate File 70, the Repealer Act, shields these traffickers. We're playing right into their hands by taking away parents' right to know if their daughter's considering abortion or sterilization. The sex trafficker, or as I'd rather call him, their pimp, could run his underage victim in for an abortion and get her right back out on the streets with very little interruption to her services so he can continue to make money off her. And mom and dad completely unaware of what's going on. Now, I do believe that we're kind of getting the legislature's attention on this one, on this repealer, on both the born alive protection and the parental notification issue. I've heard from some of our pro-life legislators that the pro-abortion people are having some trouble getting their people to fall in line on this. The bill was introduced in the House, but has kind of, at this point at least, has kind of stalled in committee and has not yet been brought to a vote in the House because some have expressed a reluctance to vote for the Repealers Act. And I assume that the proponents don't want to bring it to a vote until they can be assured that they won't get it shot down. So they're kind of waiting to try to get their people in line before they bring it to a vote in the House, and hopefully that won't happen because we've been putting some pretty significant pressure on them that this is not only over the line but significantly across the line. And the people of Minnesota are certainly not a majority of them in favor of it. And one other issue that's waiting in the wings, and they haven't brought it up yet, and it looks like that may also be stalling, at least for the time being, is the assisted suicide. Again, deception prevalent in this issue here. Proponents of the assisted suicide say they have no intention to force medically assisted suicide on unwilling participants. But the part they don't tell you is about the psychological and mental pressure that the elderly are subjected to, suggesting that the end-of-life decisions they make will affect the financial future of their immediate families or extended families. The whole thing revolves around money. The family of government keeping the elderly alive after they're beyond their productive years. Now, obviously, most elderly people are concerned about that. They don't want to be a financial burden to their families. So that power of suggestion, no matter how subtle, is a powerful tool for the proponents of assisted suicide. They want grandpa to sit there in the nursing home and think, well, as long as I'm alive, spending money here on the nursing home, I can use my own dad as an example of that. He went into the nursing home and he took a look at his bank balance and he took a look at his bills for the nursing home, and he said, well, if I'm not dead within a year, I'll be broke. And he was. Mm. It took all his money. He had both him and mom in the nursing home at the same time. And his idea was, well, I didn't save all that money. He didn't have $1 million saved up or anything, but he had a pretty good little nest egg saved up. He said, I intended to have that to hand down to my kids. And I told him, I said, well, Dad, don't worry about it. Just thank for yourself that your kids don't need it. Sure, you can use it. Everybody can use money, but all your kids are self-sufficient and they're not in need of a handout after you're gone from us. So, and that one I have a very hard time understanding and tolerating.
No.
The bloodlust, the people who want to end life on both ends of the spectrum, the preborn and the elderly. So, just one more little item I want to bring up here that I got coming up. This is a month away yet, but the story of the October Baby, that's a movie that's going to be shown at the Fossen Theater on Wednesday, April 19th. And that's a Life Matters special, and it's an evening event on Wednesday, April 19th. And that's sponsored also by MCCL Chapter 45. And the name of the movie is October Baby.
All right. Very good. Dick, thanks as always for your time. Anything else before we say goodbye?
I think that should cover it.
Okay. Did a great job. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Dick Rue, our guest on Food for Thought this morning and our monthly MCCL update. It's 9 o'clock and this is KKCQ Bagley Foston. Time for news.